Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has inhabited eternity, yet you have time for us to inhabit the places of your people. Oh, even the old house just your footstool. You make us your habitation. Lord, you promised, O Lord God, and covenanted that in Christendom, you will dwell in us and you will walk in us, and we are witnesses, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not see ourselves that way, but ask how God sees us. Man may not see that way, but our Creator sees us as his dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that we may continue to know that we are not our own. We belong to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Thou art the good shepherd. Father, not a hireling shepherd that forsake the sheep in the time of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I will be with him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I will deliver him.
Mm-hmm.
And show him my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Lord we serve. We thank you this morning for bringing us together in fellowship. Our fellowship around the world this morning, bless the reading of this hour. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Last Sunday, by the grace of God, we discussed how some of the most important events in recent history occurred in circles of six days or multiple thereof. By picking a date, an epochal date, you know, we took a date in history, and for that date we see how that many cycles of 666 occur, from that epochal date. And we are trying to show that our God has his time upon the history of this world, and to disprove the theories of advanced by the pseudoscientists and philosophers who have told us or will have us to believe that events happen by chance in this world. Not really. Even God put his hand in the events in the history of this world, and we go through many of them. Just to refresh your memory, let me just quote one of them that we went through. So we pick the epochal event of World War I, which of course was declared the week of July 28th to August 4, 1914. That is, we pick a time in history, and we pick that for one of those things. So we pick the declaration of World War I. We found that 666 days after World War I was declared, so what happened? The Battle of Jutland took place, off the coast of Denmark. Then we found that 2 times 666 days after World War I was declared, the Great German Offensive took place in that war. Then again, the 3rd 666 days from World War I declaration, what happened? The birth of the League of Nations. Then we look again back, we find that in the 6666 days from the declaration of World War I, what happened? The disarmament conference of November 10 to 12, 1922, place. Just one of the things we went through to see that God has his clock running and nothing happened by chance. We went through many of these circles and all that, And now, can you see the event of yesterday? We are no stranger to what happened yesterday, are we? So the event of the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump yesterday bring into our memory yet another cycle of events, this time around in American history. What is that event? Back in the 1940, I believe it is, one Christian magazine published an article. He observed, the Christian author observed, that every 20 years a president of the U.S. died in office, beginning from the epochal date of 1840. So how God led him, I don't know. In 1940, he published an article in a Christian magazine and found that for the epochal year of 1840, every 20 years, a U.S. president died in office. Let me just read it to you, the sequence quickly. So anyway, in 1840, the epochal date. Harrison, President Harrison died in office. Now they either die either by assassination or they die by an illness. I won't be naming why they died, but they died anyway to save time. So anyway, the epochal time was 1840. President Harrison died in office. 20 years later, in 1860, Lincoln was elected president and died in office. 20 years later,
I'm sorry? What is the name of the co-founder?
No, I don't even worry about that. I said a Christian author.
Okay,
Christian. A Christian author, yeah, published an article in 1940, you know. He observed this series and published it in 1940. Anyway, ever since that time, this thing has appeared in many Christian literature and also even in secular magazine, you know, see it, but I was a little Christian, anything and so on. So anyway, let me quickly wrap up. In 1840 was the beginning of it, on Harrison died, was elected in 18. They will elect them in that year. So 1840, Harrison died. 20 years later, 1860, Lincoln was elected president. He died in office. 20 years after, in 1880, Garfield was elected president. He died in office. 20 years later, in 1900, McKinley was elected president in 1900. He died in office. 1920, Hadley was elected president. He died in office. 20 years later, in 1940, Franklin Roosevelt, no, we mentioned him last Sunday, you remember what I talked about last Sunday. President Roosevelt was elected president in 1940. He has four terms, really, you know. So one of the presidents ever have four terms. Anyway, that's by the way. In 1940, he was elected president and he died in office. Now, 20 years later, 1960, JF Kennedy was elected president. He died in office. You all know that's recent, right? Now that is the seventh one. Now watch what happened. On the eighth circle, Ronald Reagan, he didn't die, he was shot, but he didn't die. Now, of course, the next circle, year 2000, right? George W. Bush was president, but nothing happened to him, right? Of course, we are in the tenth circle of that circle now. Joe Biden, 2020. As far as we know now, nothing has happened to him, right? That is telling a bunch of story. So what we are observing is, so the 20-year cycle of president dying in office has repeated itself seven times so far while he died in office. So the last one being JFK in 1960 was thereafter, that dying in office kind of stop, right? So why? Because seven in scriptural symbology means completion. That was seven means. Or spiritual perfection, however it means. And eight in scriptural symbology means beginning of new things. So beginning from the eighth circle, Reagan was shot in the eighth one, right? He didn't die. But he was shot, he didn't die. And of course, 2000 was WU, nothing happened to him. Now we are in the 10th circle now, and Joe Biden, as far as we know for now, nothing has happened to him, right? So, and even though Trump wasn't in the circle, talking about the year they were next president to die, but nothing happened. From the 8th, new things, anything can happen to a president at any time. That's what we are witnessing from past JFK Kennedy and so on. The importance of this thing is that God has his hand upon the destiny of the nation. Praise the Lord. And when we pray all the time, pray for the leaders and so on, in our prayer meeting and things like that, things can happen overnight. Things can happen unexpectedly, So we are living in momentous time and so on. And so far we just go as far as one goes and so on, So anyway, among other things, this can mean that maybe the president now, at times this circle will repeat that is six circles, right? But for the seven 20 years circle to repeat again, I don't think so, because the Lord talked about the shortening of time, right? In the book of Matthew and Psalm 24:32, it says there will be a shortening of time. So I cannot see the seven, the seven repeating again to something that you know. Anyway, I leave the idea. Just to put attention to what is happening, we are to watch and pray always, the Bible says. Now, this morning, my subject is this. The triumvirate of darkness. See? You think what he's talking about? Well, this has to do with a number two. This time, number three, actually, in a perverted form, you know. So, the triumvirate of darkness. In ancient Rome, a triumvirate is a group of three men holding power. In particular, the first triumvirate is the unofficial coalition of Julius Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus, they call him, in 60 BC. And the second triumvirate is the coalition formed by Mark Antony, Lepidus, and Octavian in 43 BC. Talking of triumvirate, that is how it began in the Roman Empire, and some of that you know. But we can extend this thing to that is the political, right? We can extend this triumvirate of darkness into what are we? Into spiritual things, into spiritual realm, and so on. Let's begin the spiritual realm. Sin, sickness, and death constitute the triumvirate of darkness. They do. They were the original forces of evil in the world. The manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. None of these things exist in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy them all. To destroy sin, sickness, and death. Many scriptures will bear that out. The Lord Jesus Christ realized that the destruction of sin, sickness, and death is necessary. And he came to do what man could not do for himself. That is, he couldn't save himself. All the good works that a man may perform, all his days on this earth, cannot save him. The scripture painted our picture before we were saved, right? The prophet Isaiah told us in 64 chapter, the 6th verse, "But we are all as an unclean thing," he said. "And all our righteousness are as filthy rags." We were thinking about grace this morning. Only by grace are we saved, right? That's when we were before we were saved, when we were born again. And any man who is not in Christ is still in that state right now, you know. Won't you be just be praising God that you are no longer in that in that kind of situation anymore. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray." That's who we were before we were born again. "But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." He says, sin is of the heart. We know that. Talking about the triumvirate, evil of sin, sickness, and death, right? Sin is of the heart. It is in the nature. Sin has made the nature of man vile. That was what he did to man. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to give man deliverance from this nature. And he gave man, anybody who accepts him, a new nature, the divine nature. All the Bible says, instead of his own nature or evil nature, the Lord Jesus Christ came to give man the nature of God. The other day we preach the true God and eternal life. What he gives to the believer is himself. He himself is eternal life, right? "I have given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." John chapter 5, I believe that somewhere in the Bible and somewhere that you know. So he gave us himself. And every divine blessing you have comes from that Christ dwelling in you, as long as that, So what am I saying here? So in 2 Peter 1:3, what I'm talking about, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's your position, that's my position as Christian. What a wonderful thing. Now watch this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. So, when you want to become a Christian, you receive the nature of God. That nature of the Adamic fall, taken away from you, become a new creation. You know, that's in 2 Corinthians, I believe, 5:17-21, India. No, I believe it is, and all that, you know. So our Lord Jesus Christ destroyed sin and obliterated it from the souls of men who accept him. 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what he came for. Manifest to take away your sins and my sins. And in him is no sin. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now watch this one now. Likewise, reckon ye as a Christian now, you are a child of God. Reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything we have is by him and through him. Amen? Without him we can do nothing. You know? Now, 1 Peter 2:24. Who is own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, he said. Now, so I just read a few clips from the scripture of your position as a child of God. You ask me, how about all those memories that you have of the sin you committed, even some of the sin you committed before you were born again? How come I still remember them and still up? Or even this thing you are born again, maybe you say you committed that song, that will remind you, the place will remind you. What do you do with this? I mean, the Bible says this is your true position. Now, what happened is this. Anything we commit, when we come to Christ, all the things you have committed before that time are just blotted out. Amen? God has no more record of it. Not at all. You know, that's what is, I think, in the book of Acts, you know, they ask according to Peter on the day of Pentecost, what shall we do now? So, say repent, every one of you, and your sin is blotted out. That's Latin in Acts chapter 3 and all that, you know. And every time you become Christian, 1 John 1:9, if any man sin, talking to Christians now, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. See that? So, what happens to you and I? Satan will bring back, so to say, a photocopy of the forgiven sin. He can't get the original because they were lost. Jesus said, Isaiah 43, 25, their sins and their iniquity I will remember no more. Amen? Even the Old Testament, I won't remember them. Why remember what God doesn't remember? Amen? Satan will bring a photocopy of it to you and remind you and so on. Tell him you don't have the original, it's a fake. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that's how you're going to see the Lord took care of blood, this thing for you and so on. You just need to shout the victory. Reckon yourself indeed. That's what the Bible says. Reckon yourself indeed, you know, as dead unto sin and alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the Lord destroys sin and so forth. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ also blasted sickness. We are condemning the triumvirate of sin, sickness, and death, right? So our Lord Jesus Christ blasted sickness and dissolved it from this man's system. Those who believe in, Matthew 8:17, just the last verse. He says, took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. He did it all for us. Everything Christ came to do, did it for you and I. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't bring sin to the world. He came to destroy sin from the world. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't bring death to the world. He came to destroy death. He came to see that also. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Time to wake up and begin to act. Begin to activate and be who you are by faith. See? So don't let anybody tell you anything. Any theologian and so on. You know, let us be who the Bible says we are. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1 Timothy 24, which I read before, by whose stripes you are healed. So, quoting from Isaiah the prophet, those two scriptures and so on like that, you know. So anyway, not only that, our Lord Jesus Christ challenged the devil, you know, who was the author of death, and destroyed him. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then we are destroyed, how God has really destroyed that chaos spirit of sin, sickness and death. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, the Bible says. So he came to destroy those that type of it as well. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, watch this now. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Ephesians 1 says you are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Amen? Oh, mystery of mystery. This Christianity is God dwelling in his children. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't take anything less. That's who you are anyway. Use it to advantage. You know, by the grace of God. Anyway, so before the war began, that's, it was chosen in him. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, see that one, and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. That was he brought to us, life and immortality. To life through the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ went in those 3 days, many things happened. On the cross, first of all, died spiritually, took love, taking your place and my place. You know what it will mean? Spiritual death is separation from God. My Father, why has thou forsaken me? That's spiritual death right there. See, that's what he came to do after. Then he died physically. That what happened to man, isn't it? Because it's our kinsman redeemer, amen? Praise the Lord. Our kinsman redeemer. Adam, in the garden, where they say they died spiritually first, right? Then he died physically. So the Lord came to be our substitute, you know? You say Adam died spiritually, and that's right. So he was chasing after that garden. You know, one time I talked about paradise lost and paradise regained, right? He was driven out of that garden, and so on. Adam, where are you? Oh, I heard your voice and I was afraid. After partaking of that which I wanted not to do. See? Anyway, that was in those separation from God and so on that, So the Lord came and redeemed us. Anyway, praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. So the Lord went into the region of death. He conquered and he came out triumphantly, all for you and I. He had to do that. He didn't do for time. All for you and I. That's all of that, Now, let's see here. Colossians 2:15. What I'm talking about. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And after his resurrection, here is what he said, in Revelation 1:18. And he that liveth and was dead And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, he said. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Praise the Lord Jesus. He got the keys from him. No, for the devil and forever to me. That from the beginning of the book, in Genesis 3:15, where God already prophesied that that serpent will bruise his heel. The Lord will bruise his head. You know, so we see that idea. So, true thing, death enter into this world, according to the scriptures, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin enter into the world, and death by sin. And so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see right there, death is not a servant of God. Death is not a child of God. Nor is it a product of God. Sin is the enemy of God. And in New Testament, Bible declares, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, not the last servant of God, not a friend of God, but the last enemy. Sin and sickness are incipient death, meaning they are the beginning and onset of death. That was sickness. And sin are really incipient death. Death is doomed anyway to destruction by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the reason we must not speak of the things of the Lord and the salvation in moderate tones. We must shout it loud to all mankind that Christ has deliver mankind from all of this triumphant spirit of evil, sin, sickness, and death. Amen?
Amen.
Don't keep quiet. You shout it loud. Don't care. I don't care. Like a basketball of old. Oh, you know, but you know, just shout that Jesus, that son of David, has mounted upon me. Don't that your quiet thing. The more he shouted, right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So shout the victory that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then shout to all mankind that they too might be delivered. So anyway, so we see right there. So the spirit of a real child of God challenges darkness.
Mm-hmm.
This triumvirate, God through Jesus challenges them. You know, he challenges sickness. He challenges sin. He challenges, you know, even death itself. Amen. By the reason of what Christ has done. Our challenge is now, share your secret now. Where we say that you think you are trying to do it in your own. No. You are looking at what Christ did, amen? And he did it for you. That is the victory, really, you know. You are looking at what the Lord Jesus Christ did it for you. He did it for you and I. That is where you can be triumphant all the time. Don't forget, I believe it's in John 16:33. In the world, you have tribulation. Say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, amen? That is what makes you an overcomer. Praise the Lord. He overcame for you. You rely upon the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have overcome the world. That's what makes you to be an overcomer. Anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, so now, the Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy sickness and wipe it out of the life of men to make possible the heaven of God in their hearts and in their life now. See, not tomorrow, you already done it. As many as we receive him really, you know. There can be no heaven where disease and sickness are found. Can be. Sin and sickness and death must be blotted out. That is the reason that Christianity is always a challenger. Amen? Praise the Lord. Really, Christianity is a challenger. And, the Holy Spirit. So, Christianity is a thing of strength, really. A sort of power. Christianity is the dynamite of God. I told you because God is dwelling in you. That's what makes it be like that. Christianity is the dynamite of God. In one scripture, the Bible says that the manifold wisdom of God, right, may be made known unto principalities and power. By who? By the church. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. By the church. It's through all he does to mankind now is through the church. The church just has to wake up to be called to see who they are and begin to act who they are by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Anyway, now the Holy Spirit gives us the overcoming grace and strength essential to destroy sin, to destroy sickness, and to overcome death even. Yes, the Holy Ghost gave us that grace. That's all wrapped in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you all remember what I'm talking about in Mark chapter 16, about verses 17 to 18. Is all the victory is wrapped up in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is grossly underused by every one of us this day, even God's children. We are underusing the power, the greatest power in the universe is wrapped in that name. In my name. Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In my name shall they cast out devils. You know? They will speak in new tongues. You cannot speak it because, I don't know, you didn't see God enough. Every believer, this sign shall further that believe. You can't change the Bible. If I'm not speaking in tongues because you didn't see him enough, I guess, you know. This sign shall further that believe. In my name, you know, they can cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues, he said. The prophet said, they will take up serpents, you know. If they drink any dead meat, it shall not hurt them. Belong to you and I, all these things. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's all, and don't let us begin to underuse the name of Jesus. All the power are wrapped in that name. You see? So anyway, so if you are sick and they lay hand on you, just receive your healing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some people now, maybe they are laying hand upon them and so on. They be looking at their symptoms. Got nothing to do with it. Jesus said that these signs that accompany them. You know, if you want to use another word, accompany them that believe. He didn't say the pastor only or the prophet. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, it's all up in his name and so forth. And when you are praying for in his name, go about your business praising God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it's impossible that God should lie. It is simple. You can't lie. You can't lie. So, God's word, it cannot perish. And something like that, Don't forget Isaiah 55, I believe 11, I don't remember that part. It says, as the rain cometh upon the earth, and the snow from heaven, and do not return thither, but watering the earth, and make the earth to bring forth. I don't know if I'm quoting this right. And make it to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Says, so shall my word be which I have spoken. It shall, prosper in the thing where I said it to. And it's only turn to me void. So you don't go back to your business and something like that, So it is working, So many times in the Bible, the Lord will pray for some of them. One time, one blind man and so on, didn't see very well and so forth. The Lord anointed his eyes four times. And then I think he put clear and so on. So, can you see now? Oh, I see men like trees, and so on like that, The Lord did something again, and then eventually he saw, So it can be progressive. And many people, the children of God, will compare or confuse miracles with healing. Miracles, yeah, instances of like that, some healing and miracles and so on, but he that different between miracles and healing, So healing can be a process, really, Miracles are instances of. Some people, when they are praying for, they don't get a miracle, they think nothing has happened, No, it happened. Jesus said, they shall recover. What did he say in the book of James chapter 5? He said, he's sick among you. I believe James 5, verse 13, 14, 15 of James chapter 5. Any sick among you, and then call for the elders in the church. And then pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, in the early church, don't do any other thing. That is their prescription and so forth. We thank God for the medical word and so on. I believe God lets it happen because you know we won't always get all the faith we need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the medical people and so on. They are really your help and so on. Because the Lord said, they that are well don't need a physician, right? Anyway, so the Lord took care of all of those things and all that things. So now let me give you another triumvirate. We see the political in the Roman Empire. We see it, you know, in spiritual sin, sickness, and death. Let me wrap up with another triumvirate of evil, of darkness. The dragon, the beast, the antichrist, and the false prophet, a diabolical triumvirate. Let's quickly go through that and finish this thing and something like that, you know. Let's begin with Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And and the beast which I saw was like also a leopard, and his feet is a composite beast, really, you know. Maybe, you know, made up of some of the things that happened in the other Gentile kingdom and so on, but no time to go through that anyway. So a piece of a bear, and its mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. So we saw the beast in verse 1, we saw the dragon in verse 2, the dragon gave him his power. Like, okay, about the triumvirate of of evil and so on, darkness and so on. So we see the beast, we see the dragon here, you know, giving his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So we see two of those three things there and so on. Where the third one to make the triumvirate is a false prophet. Verse 11, Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The first one came out of the sea, right? You know, but this other beast, now, different one now. Out of the earth. And then, you know, he had two horns like a lamb, and a stick like a dragon. The Bible says and all like that, you know, and like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the false beast before him, and causes the earth, and then which dwelt therein to worship the false beast. You see, there are two, there are different personalities in the land, and he does great wonder, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, and he had a power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, lastly, to bring it three together, you know, so Revelation 19:20, and the beast, meaning the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet. You see, there are different personalities, right? The beast and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we see the two of them, those, you know, how about it, what happened to the dragon? Yeah, well, you know, if the dragon means Satan, right? Revelation 22. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So, now, again, maybe lastly, Revelation 19. So it is evident that each of the beasts, the false prophet, and Satan are separate personalities. Exactly right. I've done that to show that they are separate personalities. There are other people out there who are thinking that, oh, maybe they're just the same, that, you know, they're the same one, and, you know, they make all kind of a theory and so on. But rather, they are different personalities. According to that, I took time to read all these things. This day, with the internet and so on, all kind of things are happening. One has to reinforce, you know, what you know, that which you have heard, hold them tightly, you know, as well as you know. All kind of falsehood are out there. That's why I took time to read the scripture here, you know, all these things and so on. So you can, when you hear things, weigh it against the word of God. So it is evident that each of the beasts, the false prophets and Satan, is a separate personality in its own right, and not an impersonal system or organization, as some have become to believe and so on. They are separate personalities, each of them, they are separate and so on, that, you know. So as I've shown you. Anyway, so because in Revelation 19:20, what did he say? And the beast, in Antichrist, was taken. Revelation 21, talking about about Satan being cast into the bottomless pit. So there are three personalities and so on like that, you know. But they walk out in glove, you know, as the Bible tells us here, that I've been going through all this money and so on like that, you know. So anyway, so let me conclude with this one. Why Satan, the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet are three personalities? Now, the same is not true of the Father. So what he has to do is to mimic this Antichrist. He has to mimic how God manifests himself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He mimics everything God ever did, but it's an anti, right? You know. So, but in the case of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which he is trying to mimic, so there are no three personalities in the Godhead, really, not at all. Unlike the satanic system, there are three distinguished personalities: Jacob is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist, and then the false prophet. But the God way of doing things that he tries to mimic is not three personalities. No. So let's wrap up with that. Maybe it's a remembrance to all of us and so on, because they are out there, you know. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are not three personalities. No. They are merely titles that God manifests himself in. That's what they are doing, you know. Now, so let's see here. And we need to wrap this up here. So, now. It is one of the mysteries of God, really, with the Holy Ghost, by the Apostle Paul, pray that the church should act. It's really a mystery how God manifests himself in three offices. Bible calls it a mystery, and the Holy Ghost pray for the church to be able to acknowledge this mystery. Where is it in the Bible? Colossians 2:2. That their hearts in the church might be comforted, being knit together in love. That is what we need the church today, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. The church of all of us knit together in love. As we are praying for the Bible every night and every Wednesday, this is one of the key ingredients as we bring the revival, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see? Acknowledging the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What is that mystery really? What is the mystery that you are going to acknowledge and some of that, you know? The mystery is this, that God, the Father and Christ are one. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is the mystery that you are to acknowledge. It's a mystery. And what is it that God, the Father and Christ are one. So, and that's what you start to get. 1 John 5:7 to begin to clarify this. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Straightforward, isn't it? John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, meaning Philip, he says, show all the Father, Philip there, and he survives all. And the Lord answered him in John 14:9, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how said thou, then show us the Father. Just a few scriptures here about the Godhead and so on. To really disannul, to really make of none effect what is put out there by some, call them cults or whatever they are. So Satan, the beast, and the false prophet act as one in their diabolical and hellish plan. Revelation 16:12. And the six angels poured out his fire upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Look at the world map today. You can see this happening. You can see all those kings of the east, or China, you can see North Korea, take together with king of the North Russia and so on. All these things are putting in place what will happen in this verse. So let me, and I saw three unclean, verse 13 of Revelation 16. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, showing that there are three distinct personalities, really, So right there, out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, which is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And then we are told that, for they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. See, behold, I come as a thief. He that washes and keepeth his garment. Sorry. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that washes and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and he shall see his shame. Now I want to just begin to close with verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that washes and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and he shall see his shame. Now, Ephesians, how do you not walk naked? Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's how you say, wash therefore, and then keep your garments. See what you want? So Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Another scripture we should always remember: when you think my boss is the one doing this and that to me, or someone down the street doing this and that to me, don't forget these scriptures and so on. That they can just be instruments in the hand of these powers and so on. So the real enemy of the Christian is what the Bible is telling us here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the real enemy of the Christian, really, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. You know the Lord won in that place, in Revelation and so on, So, as he said, wash and so on, and keep your garments and so on, Anyway, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, God encouraging us in this scripture, having your loins God abides with truth. No description. That's the truth, right? The word of God, right? Jesus Christ is truth, the way and the life, right? And he is the word of God, right? Praise ye the Lord Jesus. That's what you should hide in your heart and so forth. Your life guide about with the truth. There are so many falsehoods in this world. Bible says when he arises, the Antichrist will deceive the whole world. That's what the scripture says, right? That's how it works. You know, he conquered by lying. He's a father of lying. He's a liar and father of lying. He's saved from the beginning too, and so that you know. That is what this age is going to finish up with. That's why the Lord will take the church out of here at the appropriate time. Until that time, brother and sister, let's give it to this scripture and this admonition here that God gave us to know whom the real enemy is and so that you know. Now, stand therefore, having your doubts cast about with truth. Read the word of God. Know it. Pray. And having all the breastplate of righteousness. You know what that means to you? I like 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ has been made unto you wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. Amen. It's our all in all. Praise the Lord. You may say, have this and that, but you get it from Christ, right? It is the Lord. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's where it is. So don't, as I say, oh, and so on, that feeding that, right? Then the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Always don't forget 1 Corinthians 1:30. It should be your memory all the time. One of the weapons, you know, against the devil and so on, accuser of the brethren, right? You know, so anyway, so now, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Witness, amen? Praise the Lord. And I always say, but I can't go to India, I can't go to Russia. You know, I don't know that, you know. I always say it here. If somebody preaching in Russia the true gospel, you can send him there, you know. Praise the Lord. Someone preacher said, if you can't go to India, you can send a tape, you know. Praise the Lord. So you can send a tape. You see a Greek Christian tape and something like that. So you can send it across the world. And we'll be preaching that in Africa right now. You send a tape there. Praise the Lord. So that no excuse at all. All of us can witness one way or the other. Can witness with your means. And so I'll send an evangelist or send a tape, a Christian tape somewhere and something like that, you know. Anyway, so your faith sure with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What a delightful admonition to us right there. Or revelation, I will call it, and so on. Yeah, he tell you the fiery darts of the devil, right? But we are not left at his mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Through faith, Bible says that you can quench all those fiery darts. Amen? So where is the power of the enemy then? See? Now, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always, of course, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Be an intercessor, amen? Praise the Lord. You do hear that? You say, for all sins, right? Not just the one that's close to you, not the one that you go to fellowship with only, amen? By one Spirit. Are we all baptized to the same one body, amen? Praise the Lord. Whether they are in India, whether in the church downtown, or church in Nigeria, and so on, so far they are Christian, and they are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they are saints, right? Pray for everyone. Praise the Lord Jesus. Be an intercessor. Now, that scripture here, as you go here this morning, the triumvirate of evil and so on. Now, Luke 10:19, to you and I. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on some serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And that word, all in the Bible all the time. What can Satan come up with? The Lord has given you power over it, amen? Whether I use that or you don't use it, it's up to me, you and I. Praise the Lord. Cry to you, the hope of glory. It's which he has given it to you. He didn't say, I will give it to you. He said, I give to you. You have it. Whether I use it or not, it's now my own. What about another? Over all the power of the many enemy, I told you that, you know. And he said that, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see? Now, Ephesians 6:10, which I read part of it before. Finally, my brethren, even this morning, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, now. Be strong in the Lord are in the power of his mind. Amen. That's why just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In one scripture. Last one but one scripture. Matthew 21:22. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive it. Jesus did not say so. All things. Don't even doubt his word. Amen. He said all things. Don't say it any other way. You know, that is the truth. No? And all things, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believe, you shall receive. See that word all over that scripture? Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Amen. Nothing can be impossible to you and I as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Find the Bible, the scripture for your need in the Bible and stand upon it. It doesn't matter what the physical evidence may be, just stay with the word of God. In one, I think it says, the Bible says, everyone that asketh receive, amen. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your glorious word, Lord. By faith, you understand that the words were framed by the word of God. This incorruptible word, incorruptible by which you are saved. So we thank you, Father. Always is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we thank you for just sharing scripture this morning, showing that you have overcome the word for us. That we should go forth in all boldness, Lord. Say, be bold. No, the righteous being bold as the lion. The Lord Jesus being our righteousness. We can be bold as the lion. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for you have called us to be overcomers. And the Bible says nothing shall be impossible unto us. All things are possible unto us in the name of our Lord Jesus. They are all wrapped in that name. Oh, help us, Father, to make maximum use of the infinite power wrapped in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Every knee shall bow, the Bible says. Whatever you bind on earth, the Bible says, shall be bound in heaven. Oh, glory be to God in the highest. So we go this morning, charged up by this, just reading God's word. I help us begin to act upon them in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for blessing us in the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
And in the praise of the Lord Jesus. Amen.